Hey guys, welcome to my channel Journey and Beyond Untold Stories. Today we have someone very, very special with us, someone who has achieved impossible things. His name is Ian. Ian is CEO of MTAA, where he leads to advance the use of innovative medical technologies to improve the health outcomes across Australia. With a wealth of experience in both for-profit and non-for-profit sectors, Ian has contributed significantly to health initiatives through his roles at Red Nose Australia and APAC Med. Having led organizations like the Australian Dental Association, New South Wales, and the Ortho Group, Ian has built a reputation for his strategic leadership and commitment to improving healthcare systems through innovation. Welcome, Ian.
Hey, Ian, finally you are here.
Well, thank you so much, Ian, for jumping on my podcast, Journey and Beyond. Thank you for taking our time. How have you been? How's it going?
So great to be with you, and thanks for inviting me onto your podcast. Things are, we met at our MedTech conference last year, which was a great success, and we've been very busy since. There's lots happening in the medical technology sector in Australia.
Yeah, right. So Ian, you have had an impressive career, right? Spanning various leadership roles in healthcare and medical technology. How did you first get involved in this industry, and what has kept you motivated?
So I suppose you could say I haven't had a normal career path, but I've been in the health sector for a few years now. I've been CEO of health organisations for the best part of 17 years. In a variety of both associations and also commercial organisations. How I got into that was a circuitous route of making the most of choices as they come, and making the most of opportunities is probably a better way of putting it. Being willing to make choices, being willing to jump into new experiences. And that comes back to the purpose that what is it that the organisation is doing? What does it exist for? What is its fundamental purpose? And in the health sector, that's pretty easy, because it's generally about improving outcomes for patients. For the medtech industry, it's about innovation. It's about saving lives, extending lives, improving lives. So that fundamental purpose is always critical to me.
Nice, good answer. You have had success with both large organization and smaller, more focused projects. How do you tailor your approach when leading teams in both settings?
Yeah, good question. It's and it's not just size. It's you need to tailor your approach, whether it be management or strategy or even style. Sometimes it needs to be tailored to the specific circumstances. So whether it's big or small, whether it's an organization that's maybe in a turnaround stage, or an organization that's in a growth stage, or an organization that's in a wind-up stage even. It's always depends on those specific circumstances, and it's contextual in that sense. In some ways, running a small organization is even more complex, because you don't have the same infrastructure, you don't have the same resources. And if it's a smaller membership organization, for example, or a smaller not-for-profit, that can be even more complex because of the complexity of the issues that you're dealing with. Organisation, that's the case for anyone in the organisation. Everyone has to be willing and able to do anything and everything.
Exactly.
To a certain extent. And as a CEO, you do get more hands-on out of necessity. And you're right, it's that difference in structure. It's the difference in the infrastructure, the resources, and in that it is always, I think, more difficult in small organizations, managing limited resources and the choices you have to make in terms of what you can do and can't do.
Starting and scaling a business requires constant learning. How do you keep up with emerging trends and new technologies in the medical field to stay ahead of the curve?
I think it's reading, it's networking, it's learning, it's having mentors, advisors, people you can go to. And it's being willing to learn from anyone and everyone in any circumstance. And there's always those learning opportunities. And it's being at the front, but it's also being humble in the process, if that makes sense.
Correct. Makes perfect sense. You have led both for-profit and non-profit organizations. How do you approach the entrepreneurial challenges that comes with each, and how do the strategies differ?
Yeah, I approach each as they are both running a business. So depending on the type of not-for-profit, but generally a not-for-profit is still running a business. It's not just existing for the purpose of returning funds back to shareholders or the owners. And so with any business, there's a customer base that you need to develop a value proposition and deliver that value proposition and have a business operating plan that provides that efficiently. So in that sense, there's a lot of similarities between a not-for-profit and a for-profit. They are both running businesses, and I approach them in the same way, that they both have to develop revenue streams. They both have to deliver value for their customers. Sometimes the complexity in a not-for-profit environment is defining the customer and defining the value proposition. They're always there. And similarly, defining the competition. And that's even... It's equally essential for a not-for-profit as it is for a for-profit. But having said that, the cultures between the two organisations can obviously be very different. And that comes back to the purpose of the organisation. The purpose as a commercial entity, might be listed or unlisted, is to return funds to shareholders, then that is a different purpose, and that then drives the culture. And it can also be a different, it changes the decision making and the approach to the decision making. I've had a board with private equity investors, that can have a different approach as opposed to a board where there's it's a not-for-profit board that may have medical practitioners on the board, for example, that are more focused on the purpose of the organisation. So it can have, as that example, in the private equity organisation, can have more of an edge, commercial edge, certainly has more of a commercial edge.
Right, very interesting. Looking at the future of medical technology, what do you see as the next biggest opportunity for entrepreneurs in this space?
Well, the obvious one is digital health.
Yeah.
And you mentioned AI at the start of our chat.
Yeah.
And that is the huge opportunity for entrepreneurs, for innovation of health systems. Yeah, that level of the health system, the opportunity that digital health represents is enormous. In terms of improving patient outcomes, improving efficiency in our health system, enabling people to better control and be at the centre of their healthcare. One of the main challenges we have in Australia is that there isn't a reimbursement pathway for medical digital health, for medicine, digital health. And that's something that we're working on, is to work with governments to ensure that we get that in place.
Okay. Sounds. Can you talk about a time when you faced a major setback in your career and how you overcame it to keep pushing your venture or your company forward?
Yeah, I've actually got lots of examples. So some recent ones come to mind where major setbacks in terms of dealing with government around policies to enable Australians to get better access to innovative technologies. And that's a lot of what we do as the MedTech Association. And where we've had setbacks in terms of the wrong decisions being made or policy reforms being headed in the wrong direction. And then in terms of dealing with those, it comes back to, first of all, for me, is personally, until it comes back to purpose. What's the objective, the achieving objective we're trying to achieve here? And in those circumstances, it's to ensure that Australians have access to life-saving and life-changing technology. So the fundamental purpose is a driver. And it's then a process of looking at solutions. And depending on the circumstance, what is the best way to achieve that solution? And usually, more often than not, it's based on collaboration. Collaboration with partners, collaboration with like-minded organisations and key stakeholders.
Yeah.
Collaborations with patient groups, importantly, to ensure that there's a strong voice and a strong advocacy to ensure that the right decision is ultimately put in place. And that's the same in if I was to think of a commercial example of a setback. It's that same principle. What's the purpose? What's the fundamental objective? And more often than not, the solution will involve collaboration. And the people that you're collaborating with, and importantly, the people that you're working with to achieve that objective.
Yeah. Correct. Medical technology industry is often at the forefront of innovation. How do you ensure that your organization remains adaptable and responsive to the technological advancements?
Yeah, so innovation is what our members do every day. So we represent manufacturers, suppliers, distributors of medical technology. And innovation drives our industry. And that's the raison d'etre. That's why our industry exists. And a lot of that innovation also comes from, in terms of existing technology.
Excuse me.
Existing technology where there's iterative innovation. And innovation that arises from feedback from surgeons and doctors, from patients,